today on Annenberg Radio News.
That large numbers of people coming to the United States affects everybody else here in American society.
Hear debate on the new Arizona law being called the strictest immigration law in the country. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, April 22nd, 2010. Happy Earth Day. I'm Heather Hope. People across the country are celebrating Earth Day today, but disability rights advocates are holding a different kind of event this Earth Day with a protest downtown. Ariel Edwards-Levy has the story.
Earth Day, People Day, save the people!
Protesters, many using wheelchairs, have made their way to the office of Assembly Speaker John Perez. They're asking him to stop budget cuts affecting services like in-home care. Lilibeth Navarro is the executive director of a group called Communities Actively Independent and Free. She says people aren't recyclable.
The whole world today is yelling, save the whales, save the trees, save the environment. Everybody's more important but the people. If you look at our budget, they are targeting once again the disabled, the seniors, the frail, and the elderly.
The cuts are also affecting caregivers like Joseph Anthony Jones. He says he loves his job, which he's had for 10 years, but he isn't sure he can afford to keep doing it.
They're making it harder and harder for people like me to care for people who needs my kind of help. And they want to cut and cut and cut. And we can barely survive on the little money that we get.
One of Jones's clients is Donna C. McCall. Asked what losing his help would mean, she is blunt.
I need these services to be able to function as a citizen in society. Without them, I no longer exist. I might as well lay down and die. I'll be just sitting in my house, never seeing the sun and the birds and the tree and nothing else.
Advocates say they hope to find other solutions. Ariel Edwards-Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
Like you do. You better raise some revenue.
Today is Earth Day's 40th birthday, and some would say the movement is facing a midlife crisis. Our environmental footprint is constantly increasing. It's enough to make any eco-warrior cringe. But here in Los Angeles, hundreds celebrated as the mayor marked the occasion with a special screening of Avatar at the Nokia Theater. James Cameron, who was supposed to speak, was a no-show, but he sent his wife in his place to speak with the students who came for the event. 20 million Americans celebrated the first Earth Day in 1970. Today, more than 1 billion people recognize the day worldwide. The Natural History Museum announced today that it is expanding its exhibits from behind glass into the outdoors. Tracy Oppenheimer has more.
The entryway to the Natural History Museum is flooded with excited school kids, curious seniors, and a towering dinosaur skeleton. Since the museum was founded in 1913, these visitors were restricted indoors. Dinosaur included. But with the new multi-million-dollar expansion plan, museum president Jane Pizzano says the surrounding area outside will now have exhibits of its own.
It has been transformed from a very ugly hardscape to a vibrant, living, natural space where our visitors can learn about the natural world around them.
Particularly students. It has plans to provide an outdoor wilderness exhibit in what the museum staff calls a living laboratory. Education director Dr. Karen Weiss says this includes adding open habitats of butterflies, birds, bugs, plants, and the Get Dirty Zone.
The attract there will be really just small children sticking their hands in. We're going to trick families into coming over there and then learning deep science.
The museum has plans for $30 million worth of expansion. The county has already given the museum a third of that funding, and the rest is expected to come from donations. LA County Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas has been a huge supporter of the project from the get-go, and especially the effects that the expansion will have on the content available at the museum.
The transformative journey that the Natural History Museum is on is not a small thing. It is a very, very significant thing.
The expansion will begin this summer. Visitors of all ages will be able to explore 3.5 acres of gardens and enjoy presentations in a new amphitheater. Tracy Oppenheimer, Annenberg Radio News.
Stars of the Los Angeles Galaxy took a break from soccer to celebrate Earth Day at a local elementary school in Compton. Amanda Herman reports.
The halls of Stephen C. Foster Elementary School were packed this Earth Day, but not with students. Over 100 volunteers planted, painted, and watered to construct a reading garden. The students were surprised to learn they won the garden in a reading contest.
I hope that the garden brings an inspiration of reading, and we hope it inspires them to know that reading is not a chore, but reading can be a joy.
That was Principal Jacqueline Sonderlin. Her students won the second annual contest created by the Los Angeles Galaxy Foundation and the Home Depot Center Charitable Foundation. Volunteers from both organizations, plus four members of the Galaxy team, contributed to the garden. Gloria King is the director of the Galaxy Foundation.
What we hope they gain is place and opportunity for them to encourage and instill literacy. I mean, I know as a kid, I loved reading, and I would have loved to have a space like this at my school that I could come out and sit and read in.
Students had to answer questions about The Lorax by Dr. Seuss to win the contest. Despite budget cuts, Sonderlin says the garden will positively affect literacy rates in her school.
Regardless of the budget and the cuts that occur, we're not going to stop reading. We're not going to stop beautifying our school. We believe that why not our kids have the best that they can have.
Starting this Earth Day, students at Foster Elementary can enjoy reading and the Earth all at the same time. Amanda Herman, Annenberg Radio News.
Budget cuts in the Los Angeles Unified School District have left many after-school enrichment programs in the dust until a few kind donors stepped up. Trevor Thompson was on hand at the Miguel Contreras Learning Center today and has more.
Many LAUSD sports programs had an unenviable task ahead of them, says District Athletic Director Barbara Figge.
To figure out which student got to play and which student did not get to play.
Schools would have had to cut sports without $1.3 million in support from donors, including
the Wingard Foundation,
LA 84 and Nike,
Chivas,
the Dodgers.
That's because they wouldn't have been able to pay their coaches.
Over 700 of our coaches would have been lost.
But now,
thankfully, we don't have to cross that.
Cuts would have affected major sports.
Baseball,
football, volleyball,
the sport of lacrosse,
water polo.
And in total, they would have affected about 35,000 athletes, including...
My name is Jeremiah Allison, and I play for Dorsey Dons football program.
To this football player and many other, coaches' worth transcends sports because many coaches teach students...
to be dedicated in the classroom and in everyday life as well.
And because of his coach...
Our team is now... all our GPA is over a 3.0, and myself, I have a 4.0.
Sean Hunter played sports in high school.
And I can't imagine not having that opportunity.
And today, he's the president of the MLS's Chivas USA.
It made me a better person, a better student.
Frank McCourt divorced himself from his current legal situation.
It really is an honor.
To remind people that sports can teach people.
Teamwork, dedication.
Sports and LAUSD schools really have opened doors for people.
How about Don Drysdale, our Hall of Famers, Eddie Murray, Ozzie Smith.
And at the end of the day, LAUSD sports won't be going anywhere anytime soon, though many of its athletes will be. Trevor Thompson, Annenberg Radio News.
Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa is getting some support in his effort to speed up transit projects in the city. Today, the Metropolitan Transit Authority gave the green light to its lobbyists to go after federal loans and private investment for about a dozen transit projects. 2 years ago, county voters approved Measure R, which raises the sales tax a half cent to pay for transportation projects over 30 years. The mayor's plan would get his projects built in 10 years instead. For the weather this weekend, expected to be slightly warmer, with temperatures in the 70s. We'll have clouds and fog on Saturday morning, and then a clear evening with lows in the mid-50s. Sunday will also get to the mid-70s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, you'll hear from students who are commemorating the Armenian Genocide. A group of Los Angeles immigration rights activists boarded a bus at 6 a.m., headed for the Arizona State Capitol. They're protesting a new policy cracking down on immigrants in Arizona. Annenberg Radio's Karen Marcus dissects exactly what the new legislation does and how it could possibly affect other states.
If you live in Arizona, you could get stopped by a police officer for more than just a traffic violation. Arizona Senate Bill 1070, the Support Our Law Enforcement and Safe Neighborhood Act, requires Arizona law enforcement to inquire about immigration status.
I believe what this law says is that Arizonans
are very very upset about what's going on in their economy.
Jorge Cabrera is with the Council for Human Immigrant Rights in Los Angeles.
They're very upset about the lack of action on the side of the government to fix our immigration system, and so they really have gone to the extremes.
Arizona has almost 500,000 undocumented immigrants. Ira Melman from the Federation for American Immigration Reform says the bill is a good way for Arizona to protect its citizens.
You don't have to throw endless amounts of law enforcement resources at the problem. What you have to do is enforce the law strategically and rationally. When the highway patrol wants to enforce the speed limit, they don't pull over every speeder. They put enough patrol cars out there, they catch a few people, everybody else gets the message, and they take their foot off the gas.
Under the bill, police can charge anyone who they reasonably suspect to be an undocumented immigrant with a misdemeanor. Jorge Cabrera thinks the proposed law is discriminatory.
I believe that this will lead to racial profiling and to a never-ending list of lawsuits that private citizens will file against our government.
Well, that's absolutely a mischaracterization of what SB 1070 does. What SB 1070 says is that if a police officer, in the normal course of his duties, pulls somebody over for some sort of infraction, running a red light, running a stop sign, during the course of carrying out those duties, has reasonable suspicion that this individual is violating federal immigration law, he may not simply turn a blind eye, but that police officer then has to act on that. It has nothing to do with profiling. It has to do with acting on reasonable suspicion, which is what police officers do every single day.
If a similar bill was signed into law in California, it would have a tremendous impact on the state. The largest population of the country's 12 million undocumented immigrants live in California. Melman thinks California is hurt financially by helping undocumented immigrants.
Even as the city and the county are going broke, they have made it clear that if you show up with your Mexican matricula card, you will have access to all the benefits and services that the city and county have to offer. The LAPD has Special Order 40 in place, which says that they're not to look into anybody's immigration status, even if they picked somebody up for some other offense.
California passed Proposition 187 in the 1990s. It would have prohibited undocumented immigrants from accessing public services. It was ruled unconstitutional. Despite their differing opinions on immigration, both Melman and Cabrera think legalization is the solution.
There is no intention for us to keep people undocumented. On the contrary, we want everyone to go through the legal system, not around the legal system. And that's why we argue that our laws are broken and unjust, and they need to be fixed, and they need to be practical.
Arizona Governor Jan Brewer is set to sign the bill in the next few days. Karen Marcus, Annenberg Radio News.
Members of the Armenian student government rallied today at USC to remember their relatives, distant survivors of the Armenian genocide.
In a silent overture to generations past, members of the Armenian Student Association gathered in front of Tommy Trojan today. They held pictures of their Armenian ancestors, recognizing the survivors and remembering the victims of a genocide that began in 1915. Petros Bakalian describes the chain of events that began on April 24th, when the Ottoman Empire began arresting, deporting, and killing Armenians.
All the Armenian intellectuals at that time, all those important people, were taken in and captured and slaughtered. And then from there on, the massacre began.
Armin Bogdasarian shared a story of how her great-grandmother managed to survive the organized killings of Armenian citizens.
Her father just told all her brothers and sisters to just run and never look back. And she started running, but she did look back, and she witnessed how her brothers and sisters and her mother were slaughtered and killed. And then she was later taken by an American orphanage. And my grandma does not know English, yet she always repeats the words my mother would say, 1, 2, 3, and you're coming with me. And she didn't know what it meant, but they had a lineup of all the Armenian children, and they would say that phrase and pick the third person. And my great-grandmother was one of the ones chosen.
Out of 7 children, Armin's great-grandmother is the only one that survived. And to Armenian students, the denial of the genocide by some world governments is more than upsetting.
I'm literally a product of genocide. And of a genocide that is not recognized by the Turkish government, is not recognized by such a democratic countries as the U.S. that has such strong values in human rights, and yet it's oppressed by political issues and reasons to not make the decision of accepting the Armenian Genocide.
On April 24th, the Armenian Student Association will hold its annual march at USC in memory of those who did not survive the genocide and of those that did. Chris Foy, Annenberg Radio News.
We spoke to USC political science professor Richard Dekmejian, who shares his thoughts on how the killings of 1.5 million Armenians has changed Armenian culture and politics.
How has the Armenian genocide and the recognition of that defined Armenian culture and just for Armenian Americans?
I think that Armenians are really impacted by it. They're very sad because survivors are very few now left. But there are a lot of children of survivors, like myself.
How was it growing up with your parents being survivors?
They survived because my father went underground. He hid. My mother's family survived because my grandfather, he had influential friend who hid them and protected them. You never forget about it. They don't talk too much about it when you're a child. But as you grow up, you hear more about it.
Now, why do you think the U.S. hasn't recognized this genocide?
You know, that has something to do with Turkey's threat. But the United States, in a sense, it has. In a sense, it hasn't. Recently, of course, every time it comes up, the Turkish government intervenes with the White House. And as they're going to, they're ready to vote. And, you know, there's always a majority, of course, despite millions of dollars of denial money through lobbyists that the Turkish government spends every year. The White House comes and says that, you know, the Turks are threatening to respond, stopping our convoys. So once again, 2 months ago, the House Foreign Affairs Committee voted in favor of genocide recognition in the Armenian case. And the president, who promised to recognize the Armenian genocide, but then last year he said that he has not changed his mind about the fact that it was a genocide, but that he cannot proclaim it because the Turkish government threatened to do X, Y, and Z.
How would it affect foreign policy if it was recognized?
The Turks, as a developing country, need the West much more than the West does. So I don't expect anything to happen. The United States or Congress recognizes the Armenian genocide. Turkish governments will have to get used to it. They will probably withdraw their ambassador, as they did two months ago. And Armenian-Turkish reconciliation will occur only when the Turks recognize that they did genocide, because they'll do it again unless they recognize it.
That was USC political science professor Richard Dekmejian. Now for our weekly segment, For the Record.
So they've given up. They're finally done in, and the rat is dead in an alley back of the Wilhelmstrasse. Take a bow, G.I. Is victory a sweet dish, or isn't it? And how do you think those lights look in Europe after 5 years of blackout going on to 6? Rather pretty good. The kids of Poland will soon know what an orange tastes like.
That was radio journalist and USC professor Norman Corwin reading his famous story on A Note of Triumph, the day World War II ended. Today at USC, students, professors, and longtime fans celebrated his 100th birthday. Corwin was a major broadcaster in the golden age of radio, known for journalism and radio dramas. In 1993, he was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. He also has a Peabody and Grammy to his name. Now we check in with Kate Cagle to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thanks, Heather. Speaking of Norman Corwin, we're also going to have that story for you tonight and video from his birthday party. And also Earth Day, signal the kickoff for California's Cash for Appliances program. We'll have that too.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Kate. Keep clicking on our website, annenbergradio.org, for more news about South Los Angeles. Well, that's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Camilia Abuada, Ryan Nunez. Jessica Flores is our producer. Timothy Beckworth and Richie Duchon are the executive producers. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Heather Hope.